I have to ask you, what for you is the bigger F slur? F it or Friday?
Whoa.
Hello, it's Chris.
Hey everybody, what's going on? And welcome to Chris vs. the People, the show where real people tell real stories that just may hit real close to home. I'm your host, Chris Clemens, and today we are joined by pop diva Rebecca Black.
Viral sensation.
I was like, how do you want to be introduced? And she's like, just not, what did you say?
YouTube sensation. Viral OG meme god.
You really like kind of were.
Yeah, I'll accept my truth, whatever.
I think that's part of growing up is like, you're just like, that was cringy, but it happened. And like, we're here.
We're here. We've come so far.
And here is release week of your new album.
I know.
Age of the Exhibitionist.
It's true.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. I mean, it's so funny leading up to an album. I don't know if everybody's experience is like this, but like, there's so much to be done that like, you're so head down in what you're doing. And then we were just seeing each other. Like, there's just been a lot like happening.
Yeah.
And so I feel like finally this week I'm like re-entering the universe, you know? And so I'm ready, but it's been a good distraction from like the nervousness that comes with it. You know,
well, people have known about you for like well over a decade.
Yeah.
And I was telling you this, we saw each other this weekend at a friend's wedding, and I was saying that like the visuals for this era are just cuntier than ever.
Thank you.
Do you feel the need to like have to reinvent your image for each record or era? Or is that something that like naturally comes along with it?
It's a good question. I mean, like the answer is not like a yes or a no. I mean, I think that anytime I'm going into a new record, the music always comes first.
Yeah.
And then once you have the music and I start to kind of like decipher what everything means. Cause I've never personally, I would love to do this one day, but I've never entered an album with like, this is exactly what I want to do. I just kind of start chatting on the mic.
Got it. So there's no like visual inspiration until the music's sort of done.
I think the music dictates the music, and then like what the music is saying dictates what the visual should like be adjacent to it.
Yeah.
I don't think that sentence made sense, but hopefully you understand
what
I'm saying.
I understood it, but I don't.
I feel like anytime I watch myself back on these things, I'm like, girl, you tried.
Every time.
But yeah, so I got like halfway through the writing process of making this because I just kind of started in like a very inspired moment off of my last project. And I just like had so much I wanted to try and do. And I started realizing kind of all of these like concurrent themes. And to me, whenever I'm approaching like the visual aspect of it, I am just always trying to refine. And one thing I really wanted to challenge myself to do, because I'm just like such a maximalist, I think at heart, or I have
been.
Which
is like so fun though. Like
So fun. But I really wanted to like challenge myself to find the same type of like, I don't know, like potent material that felt restrained. And like, I feel like I've always been really scared of like repeating myself.
Yeah.
Even just like in like what my choices are visually and all of that. And so I wanted to build a world just like with a lot more minimalism. And, yeah, once we were kind of like ending the album process was when I was starting to put together like the title and, you know, all the different pieces and sort of link together something that I could like really just like explore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you spend like a year or two of your life after you've spent the year or two making the record talking about it and really understanding, you know, making it make sense for everybody else. So it has to make sense to me.
No, I get that. No. Do you feel like as a musician, when you put out an album, have you heard it so many times that it's like just sort of whatever for you at this point? Like you're like, let's get the damn thing out.
I've definitely had that before. This album though, it's like, I'm obsessed
good.
With this album.
This album's so good.
I still am obsessed. I think it's the thing that I listen to the most.
Hell yeah.
And you also, I get such a different perspective on a song like once it's out. Like it always sounds completely different to me once it's in other people's hands. And you see also the way that people interpret it or do their own kind of thing to it. So it like recontextualizes everything for me.
That's so interesting. I never thought about like, yeah, once you release it, what it like the legs it then grows.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And all the meanings that people put onto each song, and you know, people like people oftentimes, even when I'm doing interviews, like kind of give me their opinions on like what they think something means. And sometimes it's super in line and sometimes it's completely different.
You're like, that's fanfic, babe.
I love it. No, but I love all the different, you know, ways that the people take it. There's moments where like, it feels hard to let those songs go, you know, because it's scary, but it's great.
Love that. Well, I have to ask you, what for you is the bigger F slur, it or Friday?
Whoa. definitely the first one.
I really do love though the way you've embraced your pat. Like when you made the remix,
sure.
I was like, "Bitch, work!" Like for real though, to sort of take that back. I can't imagine at that time having been on that end of that much.
Yeah, my journey is developed, you know.
But I'm so proud of you. Now, The Age of the Exhibitionist is out. Mm-hmm. The last single you released was Anaheim Star.
True.
What is something that people don't know about Anaheim? Because I hear Anaheim and I think of two things. Disneyland.
Of course.
And the V word, VidCon.
Whoa.
I know. Whoa. I know. That's all I know about Anaheim.
Totally. Totally.
And the Angels.
The Anaheim Angels, which we love. You know, what's so funny about Anaheim, and I feel like I've been talking about this a little bit recently, is like, I'm so happy to put it on the map because it's an amazing place to be from. I think at the same time, I've had like such a complicated relationship with it, as most people do with their hometowns.
Yeah.
You know, you like build this, it becomes a part of your identity kind of without choice. And then you go through all of those eras in your teenage years. And for me, like I went through this moment in my teenage years as I was really starting to understand who I was and how that varied from where I came from.
Yeah.
And like all I saw was like what I didn't connect with about Anaheim. But now I've like come to this place where I've been out of it for so long. Anytime I go back, I really feel so like lucky to be from there, and I see how it's made me who I am.
Yeah, you notice all of the things that are really positive and like the ways that like it sort of brings you back to
who you were. And sometimes as much as like I might want to think that I am somebody I'm not, like I am like just a Anaheim queen, and I think all of the things that make me from this like suburb that's right next to this big city that I always just like felt like I was like right next to and on the outside of means just like so much more than just the actual distance.
Yeah.
But it definitely also helps that I don't have to like spend every day there. I get to appreciate it in my doses.
Yeah.
But what people don't know about Anaheim, nobody goes to Disneyland, girl. They go to Knott's Berry Farm.
What's that?
Later, the affordable theme park.
And it's in Anaheim.
It's in Buena Park.
Oh. But Anaheim.
But it's Orange County.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Disneyland is major, but I like never grew up going there.
Yeah.
Like I maybe went like a couple times, but it's way too expensive to get a pass.
A pass? I mean, to get a coffee there is like, give me your Mickey bucks, bitch. Like I was.
Yeah. It's just not, it's something that is so, which I don't know. I also think there's like some greater, I don't know, through line there too. But like it's so interesting that the thing that defines the city the most, like I would think there are definitely Disney girls who be hitting up Disneyland in Anaheim and probably live there to do that. But like, I think majority of the people, just even from Orange County, like as a greater whole, like you're not spending your dime there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is like really.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
If kind of resented Disneyland a little bit because I could hear the fireworks from my house growing up, and I'd be like,
"Was that not fun?" I feel like as a kid, I would be like,
"I'm just like, well, another reminder, I can't go there. They must be having so much fun."
So true. You're like, one day.
One day.
What's like a funny childhood story from growing up in Anaheim?
Oh my gosh. I mean, neither of my parents are from Anaheim. I should say that Anaheim transplants.
But you were born there?
I was born there. Okay. I was born in Irvine, but I grew up in Anaheim. Okay. These are all like very close cities. Which, another side story that's actually crazy lore, is my like OBGYN who birthed me in Irvine went to prison for tax evasion. That's a whole other thing. Dr. Hagedorn, hope you're well. Hope you paid that back. Crazy.
What?
Yes.
Like, low-key, what a baddie. Like, I'm sorry,
was a man.
Oh.
I know, changes everything. Yeah, I know, changes everything.
Wow, that really does.
I know.
Okay, yeah, that's less fun and a little more
less
scary.
Fierce.
Yeah, it's definitely less fierce.
I mean, yeah.
But I was like, wow, to go to medical school and then to prison. I mean, that's...
Crazy life choices. Lots of crazy life choices. But, I mean, neither of my parents are from there. My mom's from Mexico City. My dad's from Iowa. He's like a Midwestern king.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they both ended up there randomly. I don't know really how they did. But my dad, like, even though he has lived in California now for many decades and, like, that's where we grew up, like, the Midwestern truth is strong. And he's an amazing cook.
Okay.
And so he would cook us like steak and potatoes all the time. That's like how I grew up. Yeah, delicious. He also loved cornbread.
Who doesn't? Well, I mean, like me now with a gluten intolerance.
I mean, I've never looked at it the same way like since this experience. My parents were also divorced. So like he would have nights. Yeah, tea. he would have some nights where he'd make us dinner. My mom would make us dinner some nights. And we always look forward to my dad's cooking because like he does like the simplest things really well, but like he never changes his recipes.
Yeah.
And the cornbread recipe that he would do was literally like the Jiffy. I think it's called Jiffy. Jiffy cornbread. Is that, can we get a fact check?
Yeah.
The little box.
Yeah, I was going to say the blue box.
The little box. And like that was like a special like little barbecue night we were having. Ooh. It was like cornbread and the little chicken on the grill. And one night he was making us cornbread, as you do. I think it's literally just like water in the mix.
Yeah.
And he made it in this like glass bowl that he had probably for like, I don't know. He never buys new stuff.
Okay.
So he's making the cornbread. I don't know what happens. He's like a very fast-paced man. Like he's like kind of like just large and I mean like tall,
but
like a big guy.
He has like a purpose with his quick movements or is he kind of like fumbly?
I mean,
like clumsy.
I wouldn't call him clumsy, but every now and again, he just moves a little too fast for his own pace.
Okay.
And I don't know what happened. The glass bowl of cornbread literally like ended up on the floor, like splat, broken.
Like with the dough in it?
Mixed, wet all over the floor. And we were just like, oh, well, there goes dinner. Like, we're not going to have that. And he was like, no, girls. And he proceeded to literally like scoop every piece of cornbread off the floor. He did have a clean home, so I'll give him that. Picked out the pieces of glass.
Think about the floor being dirty. I'm like, the glass.
I mean, last of our worries, the glass. But he was not going to waste the cornbread. He bought that cornbread.
No, period.
So he literally took every single piece of the glass that he found out of the cornbread mix, put it in a different bowl, put it in the oven.
You're lying.
And served it for dinner. And that was our dinner.
And was it good?
And I live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Little crunchier.
Hmm. You're like, are there breadcrumbs? He's like, sure.
He was like, it's fine, guys.
Were none of y'all like, no?
I was probably like 8. And also it was, I'm kind of from the household that's like, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
Absolutely.
Either you're eating the dinner or you're not.
Or you're going hungry.
I mean, that was like the most like Iowa shit I think I've ever seen him do. Whoa. It was just like, this was our meal. It's good enough. And again, we live to tell the tale. Maybe don't do that.
I would say don't do that. But
and dad, if you ever do that again,
I know CPS now. It's a little late, but
love ya.
Wow.
But no, that is like such a quintessential moment of my like childhood experience.
Do you guys like still talk about it to this day?
Oh yeah,
love that.
Yeah,
I love.
I mean, we have to.
I love a family story that.
And he's like, and what?
Oh, he still stands by it.
Of course. He said, it was good.
He said,
and we lived to
tell
the tale.
Did you eat it?
And I picked the glass out. And we did eat it.
Wow. So serving runs in your family. That's beautiful.
Serving no matter the cost, you know?
Wow. We were just, like I said earlier, we were just at our really good friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful to be surrounded by like so much love, just friends and also like more than friends. What's like the craziest length you've gone to for love? Have you like, because I don't think of you as a big chaser. You know, like, I'm definitely someone who's like,
confirmed, not a chaser.
I mean, maybe you are, but I don't see you.
I honestly, there aren't many moments that I've been like super crazy.
Yeah.
I think I'm a pretty independent person. And I like to think that I'm like, I have like crazy romantic friends that do crazy shit all the time for people they're dating. And I'm always like, girl, look
also,
at yourself.
Don't you get tired though?
Yeah, definitely. I would imagine.
Like,
but there was one time when I was, it wasn't that long ago, which is crazy. It was maybe like 5 years ago. And I just met this girl and I thought she was the coolest girl in the world. Like, and she was like super kind of like in, she was just like nobody else I'd ever met before. And she was a little bit older than me. I was in my mid 20s. I just like thought the world of this person, as you do when you have like a massive crush.
How did you meet?
Redacted.
Period. I respect the redacted. I respect a redacted.
We actually met through music. And I went over to her place for the first time, wake up the next morning. I realized like this queen has hundreds of books in her apartment, like hundreds of just like books, records, everything. Like clearly this is
like
somebody
so cultured and
so cultured. And you just wake up and you're like, this bitch is smart as hell.
Those people piss me off because I look at me and I'm like, oh my God, I am a degenerate. Yeah.
Totally, totally same. Like totally same.
I feel so inferior.
Totally. And like, especially at this point in my life where I was like, maybe like 20, I must've been like 23 or 24 or something like that. And I just like, did not have the breadth of cultural knowledge that like this girl had.
Sure.
And I woke up and I clocked all of that and I really liked this girl. And so I was like, fuck.
I'm going to become a librarian.
Literally went home and ordered like 20 books off of Amazon, put them all in my apartment. I had this little bookcase that like I just moved into this place like not that long ago. And like I think like maybe the only book I had was like Tyler Oakley's like old book. What was it called? Bejeweled or something.
No.
What was it called? The Candy. It was the candy.
Oh my God.
Like I think I had maybe like that book and like Michelle Obama's Becoming or something like that.
Two of the most important women, period.
I was not in that moment in my 20s. And I have to give this girl credit. Like, she cultured me down, for
what
sure.
What were some of these books?
Oh, my gosh.
Were they, like, the Sylvia Plaths and, like...
I had the Bell Jar, thank God. Okay. But definitely, like, some Virginia Woolf.
So these were, like, really highbrow.
What's the Picture of Dorian Gray? Is that what that book is or something like that?
That's a book. I don't know if it's the book.
That's the name of it, right? Yeah. Picture of Dorian Gray.
By Jane Austen. Clock it.
Is that really? Did you?
I'm pretty sure it's Jane Austen. I took a class in college.
We're doing
bitch,
well.
I grew an 11th toe to cultured. Stand on that.
Here
oh
we
my
are
God.
Cultured. Listen, there's some things I know a lot about.
Your
but
publicist
there are some
is going, no, Oscar Wilde.
Fact check on the spot, girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so she had you buying like summer reading.
She didn't ask me to do this.
No.
I just simply was like mortified at the idea
of her coming over and seeing Tyler Oakley and Michelle Obama.
And yeah, me having to explain like what the hell was going on there. But it actually introduced me to like some incredible books. And like, I read a lot of them quickly.
Love that.
Because I was like, I can't also buy all these books and then have her come over
and then quiz
not
you.
Know
yeah.
what the hell is going on. Yeah. So that was probably the craziest thing I do. And also, she never once mentioned the books.
No, that would
we
be crazy.
We dated for years and she never once like brought up the fact that all these books were there. And
I was at
like,
yours?
No, she never once asked me
hers.
About them.
Oh.
No, I love to ask her about like, you know, what was going on at her place. But no, over like the several years that we dated, she never once brought up the fact that I had all
that
of
you
these
were a literary
books.
Scholar now.
Exactly.
Wow, are you normally a reader?
I go through phases.
Okay.
I go through phases. I'm like more on a podcast moment maybe right now.
Love that.
I don't know. Are you a reader?
No. at all. That's why I'm like, wow, that is a great length you went to for love.
I mean, I loved the phase.
Oh my God, I would have had to get like a tutor to learn how to read again. Like, I just, that would not have been my journey, but I'm jealous because like I always think like, oh, I'm gonna, you know,
it is fun.
Smart up.
It is
for
fun.
This, and I never do. I'm like, so I listened to Hillary Duff growing up.
I mean, same.
But like,
both can be true.
They're not for me, but they definitely are for you, and I love that.
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
But that's such a wholesome.
I know. It's like, those things that you do when you're in your early 20s that you just look back on and you're like, I remember like feeling crazy for doing it in the time. Like I was like,
yeah,
this
is part of the rush.
Thing to do.
Like,
but
listen,
here we are today.
Here we are.
You know. So shout outs to you, girl. Thanks for the books. Still got them.
Still read them.
Now,
before we carry on with the rest of the episode, I would like to thank today's sponsors. First, I'd like to thank Tempo for sponsoring today's episode. With it being the end of summer, I just feel like this time of year always sneaks up on me because schedules are shifting, routines change, and suddenly it's 6 p.m. and I have nothing figured out for dinner. And that's where Tempo has been the one thing keeping me consistent through this transition. For those of you who don't know, Tempo delivers fresh, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door. And that's why I love Tempo is because they're making it easy to eat well and save time on busy days. Like each meal is perfectly portioned for lunch or dinner and ready in just 2 minutes. That means real food, real fast, without the sad desk lunch or drive-through regret, which for me is major. Now with Tempo, there's over 20 recipes every week made from nutrient-rich ingredients, which means Tempo keeps things exciting and helps you stay consistent with healthy habits. And no matter your goals, there is a Tempo meal for you. You can find protein-packed meals with over 30 grams of protein, fiber-rich meals, meals with gut support, and so many others that'll fit your lifestyle. Like I said, it's so convenient and it's also flexible enough to fit the way I want to eat. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/Clemens. That's tempomeals.com/Clemens for 60% off your first box. I mean, come on now. You're not going to beat a deal like that. Again, that's tempomeals.com/Clemens. Rules and restrictions may apply. Now I'd like to thank another one of today's sponsors, which is Upwork. I think a lot of people think the most successful business owners do everything themselves. However, that couldn't be further from the case. They delegate. Upwork lets you build a team of highly skilled specialists for every function your business needs so you can focus on what you do best and let experts handle the rest. For those of you who don't know, Upwork gives your business fast access to highly skilled specialists with deep expertise so you can fill critical skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. Upwork really is where businesses find highly skilled freelance professionals for specialized work, from software development to marketing, design, and business operations. They make it really easy to browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. Now with Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, which means there is no endless searching required in your future. My favorite thing about Upwork is that they help cut down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place, which means that I can spend more time running the business and being creative rather than stressing about what is a contract. And don't take it from me. I mean, thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire highly skilled freelance professionals for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. And with over 170,000 freelancers holding 5-star ratings, you can hire with the confidence that comes from hiring someone with a verified track record. I can't recommend Upwork enough. So visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. It is free to sign up and posting a job is easy. Again, that is upwork.com, upwork.com. Alrighty, guys, let's get back to the episode. You've performed a lot.
Yes.
Like you DJ?
Yes, I do.
What is like your craziest or worst time performing? Because like as a performer, not every time can be your best. I have bombed in 4K with four different camera angles. So like it's it's not
same girl.
It's not ideal. But like what was, do you have one?
Like a craziest, worst.
Yeah, like a worst performance or like just a time where you were like, how did this happen?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have many years of crazy, bizarre situations. I think it was my first time touring in Europe.
Okay.
And the thing about touring in Europe, especially like your first, is like, it's really hard to make money over there. I mean, it's really hard to make touring or make money in touring at all these days.
100%.
Like, it's, you know, you do it for the love of the
love of the game. Yeah.
And I, this tour, just like I had nothing. It was like four of us in a minivan driving. My tour manager was driving, and half the crew like couldn't make some of the shows because of other things that they were probably being paid much more on. Like,
sure.
It was truly like boots on the ground, like, or bootstrapping, whatever the phrase
is. I totally was following along.
Is bootstrapping the right word, guys?
Picking ourselves up by our bootstraps?
Bootstrapping. Like gathering. Bootstrap. Like, we had nothing.
Yeah.
Guys,
I'm learning so much today.
Clearly, same. I'm trying things
out. Oscar Wilde.
Oliver Wilde. Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah. The picture of Olivia Wilde by Sylvia Plath. But anyway.
The picture of Olivia Wilde's crazy.
I would read that.
Oh, I would actually read that.
So this tour was like, it was just cursed in general. There was so, I mean, when you're just like at that level of touring, like you take what you get.
Well, I was going to say, you have to be sort of scrappy with it and like
hugely
make lemons out of lemonade.
Yeah, and also you just don't know how anything works. Yeah, bootstrapping the lemonade.
You got to bootstrap the lemonade, honey. This is why I never record episodes before noon.
Yeah, sometimes you got to bootstrap the lemonade, and that's
and that's life.
That's life. I got it. Okay. But anyways, like there were several shows on this tour that were genuinely just like low key disasters. And like I look back, like my first London headline I ever did, it was one of the most amazing nights of my life. But like, literally, I look back and like the wall was like had like pieces of paper with my logo on it. Like I just had nothing.
Yeah.
Like I had literally half a cent and a dream.
That's all it takes though. Like you don't need more than half a cent for shit to work.
I'm grateful when I have it. I'm grateful when I have it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are just like so many nights on this tour that I could talk about, but there was this one, there's this festival called The Great Escape.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, I don't want to compare it to like anything. Again, I feel like this is another bootstrapping the lemonade moment, but there's this festival called Great Escape where it's basically like they take over in Brighton a bunch of different venues, little clubs and stuff like that. And they have a bunch of different artists doing shows. So I was assigned this gay club that was like really cute and really fun and iconic.
Were you DJing or like
I was doing my live show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was like I think a 30 minute set. And I think it was me and my drummer, if I remember correctly. And that was kind of it. Really early days, maybe like this must have been like 2022, 2021, something like that. And 2022, I think is when it was. And we're like doing the set. I mean, it's like, you know, there's nothing on stage. It's really just me and my drummer and just like going off.
Half a cent and a dream.
Half a cent and a dream. But people are going off. Like it was a great crowd. I love performing in the UK. Like people go apeshit there in the best way. And I'm literally either about to start playing or in the middle of playing the Friday remix was like the final number of my show. All of a sudden, music, low-key, kind of on beat, cuts out. Like the entire thing. My mic cuts out. Everything's gone. I'm just like, what? And this was kind of like these types of festivals are kind of crazy and chaotic. Like you don't have really time to sound check. Like
yeah,
there's a bunch of different artists moving through. So like you kind of walk into the show knowing like,
Who knows what's going to happen?
And in the middle of the set, I'm just like, what is going on? And I can kind of see something happening like at front of house, which is where all the sound comes from. And I'm just like kind of, I don't know, rolling with it on stage. Like I can't even talk through the mic. But the room is small enough that I can probably scream. Yell out to everyone. So like 30 seconds goes by. I'm like, you know, trying to figure it out. All of a sudden, we're back and it just happens. And I was like, okay, do the rest of the number. I think it must be like something to do with, I don't know, the sound or like the setup or who knows. Like it could be a million things. And we've had, everybody has like horror stories like that during a show where something of your technology just like doesn't work. It's whatever. I like get off stage. Again, I'm in the crew of like four people. So my front of house, Ben, is like, girl, the sound cut out because some drunk girl unplugged the PA to charge her phone.
It's not funny, but it's crazy.
And he literally like was like, what are you doing? Like apparently in that moment, he like sees this girl. Because again, the front of house is like in a much bigger venue, you're like very sectioned off and this could never happen. But when you're in a tiny little gay club in Brighton, girl, again, you take what you get and you don't throw a fit.
Yeah.
Apparently some drunk girl, I mean, people were living. I will say that in the crowd.
For the music cutoff?
No, just for the show.
Oh, okay.
So people were going off and like, it was a really fun show. And some girl just like saw a plug and was like, oh, that's mine. Unplugged it, plugged in her phone. And I mean, I hope she got like a percent at least to make it worth it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Were you like, did you
laugh? I
would
love to meet her.
I want to meet her.
I mean, afterwards, I was like, that's insane. And I can riff through a moment.
Totally.
You know, like I can do what I can. It's nerve-wracking when something goes down, but like I'm happy
to. You can handle it.
I'm happy to test my reins. Yeah. You know what I can
do. Sometimes after those events, it's kind of fun to be like, oh, okay. Like the floor can go out beneath me and I will still find a way to
totally
figure
it out. And
it
does all the time.
All the time.
On that same tour.
It may not be a girl unplugging your shit, but it could be
so iconic.
A late go. That is pretty incredible.
I hope she tells this story and knows what she did.
Do you think she remembers this?
If it were me, I would not remember, unfortunately. My memory is so bad.
I fear it would haunt me.
Oh, but I think like that. Those kinds of moments genuinely like are the best stories.
No, I mean, at least like you got a funny thing out of it rather than it being like just the power went out.
Or like my equipment broke that I now have to replace. And yeah, that's a way less fun and iconic version of the story. That has also happened a million times.
That's incredible.
I mean, when you're getting started and like working with what you got, like genuinely on that tour, there were multiple nights. There was one night we were in Madrid where, again, one of my crew like couldn't make it because I think they had something else going on, which we knew in advance and we planned for. But I had to have like somebody do my playback who had never done playback before in their life. Like they're not even like an audio person at all. They were just like a body I had there. They had to do playback and the whole system also shut down. So he literally was like, well, I have an aux cord and like pulled up my Friday on Spotify. It seems to be Friday. That's the common factor here. And he like pulled it up and like yoinked it into the system and just ran it.
It's always the drunk girl at the club.
Ugh. And listen, we love you, girl. We need you.
Oh, no, that's incredible. I mean, not for that moment, but... That really is such a funny story to be able to tell.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, the show kind of got blundered, but.
It makes, I like, as somebody who has also been like probably that drunk and crazy or just like not knowing what's going on, it makes me feel very seen.
Yeah.
So.
No, it definitely.
Like, I love her. Again, would love to know the face to the name.
I really hope she remembers and reaches out because like that would be beautiful.
It'd be major.
It would. Major. Now, speaking of like music festivals or performing, have you like attended music festivals that, well, I know you have, but like, do you get crazy at them? Like, are you like there for the music? Cause I go to music festivals and I'm like, I've got my gummies. I've got, my whole little ritual that I do. And then I like dissociate.
Totally.
Are you like getting inspiration? Do you like party at them?
I used to.
Okay.
When I was a kid, not a kid. That sounds crazy.
I was like, okay, work.
When I was a child.
I was cooler than all of you.
When I was younger, I mean, like, Coachella was, like, the thing. And I feel like you were a part of this, too. Like, it was the thing that we would look forward to every year. You would just, like, try so hard to find a way to get in and get a ticket. And, like, Coachella is expensive. So that was really, like, the girl that we would look forward to. I think I was, like, 18 or 19 when this happened.
Okay.
And you would always kind of, like, find your clique, you know, and all get a hotel room. Somebody would drive you out.
Oh, you guys got hotel rooms? Now it's, like, you got a house.
Girl, I did not have the house money.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I was staying like an
adults.
Hour away from the festival.
My first time at Coachella, I was an hour away from the festival.
Yeah. Again, we were just like making it work. And so it was like four of us who all split, I think, one hotel room.
Work.
Because it's just like what we could do. And
also, you're like never in the hotel room.
No.
Like, you're at
You're there to
Coachella.
Get ready and yeah. you go. And then you get back. We spent an unfortunate amount of time in the hotel room this time. And when I was younger, I used to smoke weed a little bit.
I would never.
I actually don't know if I ever said that. Crazy.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I also smoke weed.
I can't do that anymore, unfortunately.
Me
Too much
neither.
Paranoia and life experience, you know?
Yeah, I totally know. Oh my God.
I do think this was one of the, like, my canon
events.
Stoner
for,
experiences.
Okay.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, so it was night one, which is like always, like, you know, it sets the tone of the weekend. You're there. One of my friends had brought this edible. I think it was a brownie,
okay.
Maybe.
And those are the craziest.
Now I know. It was a brownie. And I'm like, I was never really into the edible sorts because they always like brought me a little too close to psychosis.
Well, I also think like back before all of this was like so regulated and like recreational, it's like edibles were kind of the thing you heard about that were like, you're going to be a different person with.
Yeah, it was like ayahuasca.
Yes, it literally was like, you're about to go on a journey. And like edibles to me always scared me.
They scared me too. But, you know, it was like what we had.
You're at Coachella with half a cent and a brownie.
And we like took the small, like my friend had warned us, like, this thing is really strong. Take like a crumb. And so we did. We all took literally a crumb of this brownie.
Period.
And we were like, we're going to have the best night ever. I want to say like Ellie Goulding was playing, maybe Haim. Like it was that era of music. And one of the artists that we were going to see was A$AP Rocky.
Love.
I think it was A$AP Rocky. God, my memory's really bad because of this era.
No, I feel that.
And we're all like in the festival moment where, you know, when you're like at a festival with your girls and you're all in the single file line and you're holding
hands to get through the crowd.
Like, yes. We're like living our moment in our flower crowns and our high-waisted jeans. And we're like, you know,
I
making our way.
Era.
I do and I don't.
Yeah. Like obviously like
but
glad
yeah,
there's distance.
It was like such a moment in time. And so we were like all walking in a line, ready to go, like see the show. You're trying to get a good spot. Something literally the clock strikes. Like, did I say croc? The clock.
I don't know. I was like, who's throwing Hello? Shoes?
Yeah.
The croc struck ASAP.
One of the ASAPs. And, the clock strikes. Probably. I mean, it couldn't have been that late. It was maybe 6:30 p.m. The clock strikes 6:30. Something happens where we're all like chugging away, like getting into the show, into the pit. And we all, in synchronicity, just turn the other way and start heading out. Like the edible hit us all at the same exact time in a crazy way that we all were just like, we can't do this. Like, we can't be here.
Had you
we
guys
gotta
been
get
at the festival for long or like had you just
No, it was like maybe hour three, you know? Like, we had gotten in the afternoon and we had been in the sun and now like the sun is setting and we're like the night is just beginning, which is the best part of any festival.
Yeah.
And we literally all just went and just walked out and like walked back in to the, I think it was the VIP section or something like that. And we all sat in the VIP section for like an hour. Nobody
Non-verbal.
Said a word. Nobody said a word to each other. Like, I'll never forget this experience where we're all literally just like in a circle.
That's why I can't do edibles like in the daytime.
So we all literally are like, we have to leave. Like, we can't be here anymore. Like, we look like a disaster. We are a disaster. It's time to go home. And it's also like that period in the night where sometimes at Coachella, this is one of the best and worst parts about being in the desert, is like the winds pick up. And I'm,
which, like, I don't know if people talk about, like, my first time at Coachella, I thought I had like throat cancer or something.
Yeah.
I had no idea that people were wearing masks, like,
yes,
for the
you
utility.
Put your bandana on and like your sunglasses genuinely so that you can see.
See.
And like, you usually are like, you know, blowing out snot. But again, there's a lot of the time I think it's like part of the magic of it. But in this moment, it did not help our like just group anxiety where it's like, it actually feels like the world is ending right now. So we left. It was like 7 p.m. Actually, all but one of us left. Our friend Jack
stayed by himself
to watch Ellie Goulding.
I mean, honestly, priorities were
I
strong.
Mean, he ate for that.
No,
he
really did.
Strongest, bravest girl that night. But we all go back. We're like, we're going to order Domino's. We're just going to like exist in this moment.
Oh, I know the routine well.
Find a safe space. And like, we're going to try again tomorrow. You know, like, this was just not our night.
Yeah.
And now we know. And so we all went back and like we had Ubered to and from the festival. So, you know, it's the whole situation of the hour of waiting for the Uber, and you get home. We do it. We go to bed. Sleep like babies.
Oh, you guys are the only rested people at Coachella.
And we wake up the next morning. We're like, okay, that was a chop, but we're going to have a great day.
Yeah.
We're like, when you're in the desert, you're with your girls, you're like, we're going to go to, I think there was an IHOP or something. Okay. So like, let's go to IHOP and like,
refuel.
You know, yeah, we're just going to, we're going to restart the engines for the day, redeem ourselves. And so we like get in our little breakfast fits. We look a mess, obviously.
We'll die.
And walk outside into the parking lot. And my friend who had driven us, Lauren Elizabeth,
I'll
literally respect you for life for this. She was kind of like the mommy of the group.
Okay.
She was a little bit older than us. She was kind of the one who like drove us around. She drove us to and from the desert. And she, Queen, had this like brand new Porsche Macan. And drove us to the desert. And so we're like, okay, it's time. Like, you know, we're thinking we're like such hot shit, like get in mommy's Porsche and go to IHOP in the desert.
Mommy's taking us to breakfast.
And we walk down outside and we're like, why are there like all these people standing around Lauren's car? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And we walk to the front of the car to realize a palm tree has literally crushed like the entire front end of her car. Like an entire half of a palm tree through the windstorm just splat on top of her car and totaled it in the middle of the night.
Oh my God. Crazy parallel to this. She had an app at the time, and I had I worked at a tech startup that helped with the content for that app. And I remember seeing the picture with a gorgeous Visco filter on it of the palm tree on the car. And I remember thinking, oh my God.
It was shocking.
I love knowing the prequel to that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing has humbled us more. I think I'm forever a different person. Cause again, you think like you're so young and you think you're like so cute and hot and like, wow, like look at us. Like my friend is driving us to Coachella in a Porsche. Like, this is crazy. No, girl. Like,
she's not driving you home.
That was not
the
life I was meant to live.
Was the car was totaled?
It was absolutely undrivable, totaled. And again, what I will respect Lauren for this week is this girl, like, there was not a tear shed. There was not a moment of panic. She said, well, all right, we're going to go get breakfast at the hotel. And we like went and got breakfast. She's like, I got to find a rental car. And she just like was fine with
it. Hailed it.
I mean, she figured it out in like a crazy way. I don't know what her whole situation was when we got home. But like, she was like, we're going to find a rental car to drive us home. And like, there was no meltdown. There was no anything. She just like found the solution, which I was like, and there's mom.
I would have eaten the rest of the brownie and left for a minute.
It was jarring. It was jarring. And we did have like one of the best nights of our lives, I will say, at Coachella that night. We redeemed ourselves for sure. I think at that point we had nothing left.
I was gonna say, you have nothing left to lose.
We didn't know how we were gonna leave the desert. We didn't know how we were gonna get home, but like we were just like, all right, well, this is the vibe.
I feel like that's what like propels you though in those situations is like,
it's always everything when your friend has a Porsche that gets.
It's always when the palm tree falls on the Porsche.
Yeah.
You've got to bootleg the lemonade.
That you have to
to bootstrap the lemonade. We've made so many insane phrases that I can't even remember all of them.
This entire conversation would kill a Victorian child.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. No, wow. It was truly like one of those experiences that it sounds made up, but you can't make
it
up.
I love it. No, it's true. I saw the pics.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy going to music festivals like as an adult now?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I love playing. I love the opportunity to play them, and I love to kind of like build my weekend around it, you know? And like if I get a chance to stay or watch a few sets, like I love live music and I love big shows and I love seeing like how different people, now that I like know a little bit more, I like love seeing how people utilize the stage and everything. I definitely don't go as hard as I went. I actually don't think I've taken an edible since that day.
And I do think that that's for the better.
I can confirm.
I think a lot of people think I'm probably like a pusher. And I'm like, no, never. Like, not your gig.
Like, no, it wasn't for me. I'm not strong enough for it.
You're strong enough, just not for that.
No.
You know?
No. Moral of the story is don't get a Porsche.
The deadpan staring at me. I'm like, noted.
Do you own one? Oh.
I mean, I do, but...
Do you actually?
Yeah.
No way!
Oh, no. Do I have a Porsche? Oh. No. Do I want one? Yeah. I was like, what's so crazy about wanting a Porsche here?
No. Everybody wants a Porsche. But beware of what it can do.
I'm not driving that shit to Coachella, though.
It felt cursed. It felt like an act of God.
That
you
really
know?
Is.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Becca, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Well, go through my album, Age of the Exhibitionist. It's out now, which is crazy.
Yeah. What's your, like, if you had to have one song for people to listen to from the album, what would you recommend?
Oh my goodness. It changes all the time. I mean, I think Anaheim Star is an amazing song and feels like very me. I think there's a song called Vasha Salon that people will really love.
Hell yeah.
It goes hard. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
I love
you.
I love
you
too.
This was so fun. And
it was gorgeous.
Oh my God, I get to see you again this week.
Bootstrapping the lemonade.
I loved bootstrapping the lemonade with you, girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go stream Age of the Exhibitionist and get down with your bad self.
Get down with your bad self.
If I don't see you guys on the after show, I will see you next Tuesday. Bye.